Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake, joined as always by Gabby Urrutia. And we are here recording. You know, the intention was, after the last podcast, to have a big Elite Prospect Day preview type podcast where we kind of introduce or help the fan base get to know some of the key 2023 recruits to know over the next year. But since then, we have also had some coaching rumors, coaching news, all that good stuff break. So we will start the show there. Before we jump into it, I do want to highlight, and I mentioned this in the last podcast too, starting Friday, because it is Elite Prospect Day weekend, we are offering a 50% off annual subscription deal. I believe that puts it at about $53 for a yearly subscription. You know, it's going to be a busy weekend with recruiting updates for that day and a busy year in general with Mario Cristobal now as the head coach. Recruiting is about to hit another level. So I would recommend everyone jumping on board, taking advantage of that. So many people have over the past 2 months, and we definitely appreciate that. But let's keep the party rolling. So that's enough plugging of that deal. Let's jump into kind of Miami coaching staff news, Gabby. You know, we maintained that the intention was for secondary coach Travaris Robinson to be retained at Miami. I think that was the understanding that was going to happen. That's what T-Rob was telling everyone. That's what everyone around the program was kind of putting out there. But I don't know, maybe around Christmas time. I don't know when exactly this kind of development emerged. It became clear that there was a possibility of Alabama having an opening at one of their secondary coach positions, and also to potentially Georgia, right? So those two programs are certainly a threat for any coaching staff if they want one of your guys, right? That was the case with T-Rob, as we have now reported, and it's kind of been verified, et cetera, out there. He is going to move on to Alabama. And so that is another coaching position that Mario Cristobal will look to fill. What was your reaction to that? I mean, look, I think it's a tough loss because I do think T-Rob is a really good coach. It would have been big time to retain him. But it's hard to turn down Alabama. And Mario Cristobal, of course, of all people, would know that. So, Gabby, what's kind of your reaction? How big of a blow is this, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just for all the reasons you said, David, I feel like this is something we kind of saw coming. I mean, just even like through like just the coaching community, there was whispers that, you know, Travaris Robinson was going to be linked to both those openings and, you know, an opportunity to work at Alabama. Again, it's when a job like that opens up, I feel like it's tough to sort of say no. Again, I do think that the plan was to stay at Miami and all that stuff. But when Nick Saban comes calling, again, that's just a situation where, you know, if it's anyone that's going to be able to pry a guy like T-Rob from Miami and all that stuff, it's, Nick Saban, a guy like that. So, yeah, I do think there's a loss there. From a recruiting standpoint, you know, everything that he's just done throughout his career, really, he only recruited Miami for like 12 months. So, you know, we definitely got a glimpse of that. But from a recruiting standpoint, I definitely think that, you know, hurts in a way. And then obviously from a coaching standpoint, I think he's, you know, definitely one of the better defensive backs coaches. I think that was a position Miami needed to sort of upgrade. I think that, again, the talent that's in the room is good. So, you know, I think it's set up well for the next person to sort of walk in there. But, you know, it's never ideal to lose a guy like T-Rob. Again, we just kind of got to wait and see how this goes, see what the replacement is. But, you know, definitely a blow to Miami.
Yeah, and wish T-Rob all the best. I think overall he did a pretty good job at Miami with what he had to work with. But, yeah, I mean, look, coaching staffs and situations this time of year, everything is fluid. And I think that goes for, you know, Miami trying to add to their staff as well, right? I don't think anything's off the table with the amount that Miami's willing to spend on their staff and with the belief that Miami is going to win at a high level now that Mario Cristobal is the head coach. So let's transition now to, what appears to be some whiffs, at least one whiff that I feel strong, you know, is actually the case. And then one that, you know, is kind of reported to be the case. And I'm not sure if it is necessarily a whiff or not at offensive coordinator. But let's start with Jason Candle, right? This report surfaced by Football Scoop. When was it? I forget. Tuesday night, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was early. It was definitely earlier in the week.
So Tuesday night, maybe. Maybe Monday night. I forget. It might have been Monday night. Anyways, he is the head coach at Toledo, right? And the report was that he was Mario Cristobal's top candidate to be the offensive coordinator. I feel confident that that is the case, that he was Mario Cristobal's top target. I think I texted you, Gabby, when that report surfaced. My thinking was, okay, like my reaction was, man, the fact that this got out makes me think it's not going to happen now because he is an active head coach.
Right.
And it was very quiet on that front leading up to that story breaking, right? Which an active head coach would want and need. So from that point, like if it didn't happen within 24 hours of that report surfacing, I think it was going to be tough to make happen, right? Because if you're going to hire an active head coach, it's just a rare thing, right? You don't really see that, a head coach at a G5 going to be a coordinator at a P5. So it kind of had to be like a bang, bang type situation out of nowhere, shock the world type of deal, right? So when the news was leaked, I was wondering, okay, who's leaking that? Who's putting that out there? Yeah. You know, what's the motive, yada, yada, yada. I do think it was true. But anyways, in the following days, I think it took 2 days maybe. And I'll say this too. When that story broke, I had people both on Miami's side and on Toledo's side telling me they thought it was going to happen. So it seemed like there was a strong belief that, yes, this is trending in this direction. Now, of course, we know now that, you know, Jason Candle, I guess, didn't feel comfortable or or felt the pressure of having to make a decision before he wanted to make a decision. And so he has not, he turned down the opportunity. But what we do know, which I've independently confirmed, is it sounds like Mario and Miami are offering about $1.7 million to their offensive coordinator candidates, right? Or at least to Jason Candle. That was also reported. You know, I also got that feedback that that's what Kendall Briles was offered. We will talk more about Kendall Briles here in a little bit. But to me, that number is big, right? 1.7 million. That number, 1.7 million, would trail only, you know, of the 2021 salaries for the, you know, the 2021 season. Of all the offensive coordinators in the country, that would trail only Tony Elliott of Clemson, right? Who was at Clemson at the time. He's now at Virginia, of course. But he made $2.1 million at Clemson as the offensive coordinator last season. After him, the next highest paid OC was Kevin Wilson at Ohio State. He paid $1.4 million, right? So Mario Cristobal is willing to pay an offensive coordinator top three money in the country at that position. Now, it should be noted that mainly it's defensive coordinators that get paid the most, simply because a lot of the top offensive coordinators in college football are also head coaches, right? So Lincoln Riley, Dan Mullen, Jimbo Fisher, Ryan Day, Steve Sarkisian, Chip Kelly. These are like the top offensive coordinators in college football. They're also head coaches, right? So they don't necessarily need to pay a ton of money for an offensive coordinator on those staffs. So, but still, $1.7 million appears to be around the number that Miami's going to pay for an OC. But anyways, I'm curious, Gabby, how did you absorb this Jason Candle saga?
Yeah, I was kind of on board, you know, just kind of knowing who he is. I mean, I think just the benefit of adding a G5 head coach as an offensive coordinator. Again, I had, you know, heard that he was a very legitimate candidate from, you know, from what I understand, you know, someone Mario trusts is someone that vetted, you know, Jason Candle. And I think that that was definitely someone that was intriguing to him. You know, I think he would have been a pretty good candidate. Again, he was a name that I wasn't really like super familiar with heading into it. But once I sort of heard about it, it felt like someone that made sense. It's not happening again. I feel like it kind of came up and sort of, you know, bubbled away relatively quickly. So not a whole time to sort of digest it, but, you know, sort of it is what it is. And, you know, I'm feeling confident that, you know, Mario's willing to pay top dollar for a play caller. And, you know, there's definitely a candidate out there, an exciting candidate out there that, you know, I think people should be excited about.
So after the Jason Candle report surfaced, then we got some Kendall Briles report surfacing, right? And I don't know what to make of these reports, quite frankly. You know, we will admit when we don't really know in detail some things. We know some things with the Kendall Briles stuff, but I don't feel comfortable to the point of saying, yes, Miami legitimately offered Kendall Briles. I do think they were talking this whole time, no matter what. You know, Mario Cristobal and Kendall Briles, there's no denying that. I do know that. There was deep, long discussions between the two parties. Where I'm not sure. I mean, to me, the vibe I'm getting is Briles wanted an offer from Miami to try and leverage a raise from Arkansas. I know Kendall Briles and his camp are telling everyone that'll listen to him that Miami legitimately offered him. He had many sleepless nights thinking over this decision. He was offered $1.7 million by Miami. That, to me, and look, maybe it's all true, and maybe he legitimately just wants to stay at Arkansas, but that is a departure from what I know early in the process where Kendall Briles was beating down Mario Cristobal's door to try and get this job. he was extremely excited about, you know, the prospect of trying to get to Miami. It's a job he really, really appeared to want. And so that's where I'm just kind of like, okay, if you really had the opportunity to go to Miami, you know,
but
him
you probably
not,
would have taken it.
It seemed that way, right? In terms of just things I know. But I mean, look, there are good reporters out there reporting that he did have a legitimate offer from Miami. And again, I believe he is telling people that, and I believe his camp is telling people that. I will say, you know, it is interesting that like Mario's two trusted guys from a national media perspective, Bruce Feldman and Pete Thamel, aren't really touching it. They didn't touch the Jason Candle story either, for whatever that's worth. But, you know, again, $1.7 million appears to be the number everyone wants to throw out there that Mario's willing to pay. How do you read this Kendall Briles situation? Because, I mean, look, it could be true.
Right.
I could be out of the loop on this one. It just doesn't line up with kind of everything I know about it, is what I would say.
Yeah. And I think I'd like early on, I feel like we knew Kendall Briles was a candidate. I mean, I feel like when the whole Joe Brady smoke started sort of right out of the gate, I feel like, you know, David, you were the first person to mention Kendall Briles, and we were the first, like, not like, I don't know, but we started mentioning, hey, Kendall Briles is a name to keep an eye on. Also, I think that, you know, again, I think that he's probably been a guy that's been talking with Mario Cristobal this whole time. And I do think that there's a reason why, you know, over probably a month later from when we first started, you know, tossing his name out there, that nothing formal was sort of agreed upon. And that tells me that at least initially there wasn't an offer. And then right now him saying that there was an offer and all that stuff or whatever it is. I do think that it's interesting just to think of how long his name has sort of been at least, you know, linked to Miami in a way, to the time that all this stuff sort of started to come out about having the formal offer and all that stuff. So I don't know. I think that's definitely something to keep in mind. But again, I like Kendall Briles as a play caller. I think that I thought that he would be a really good, option for Miami and all that stuff. Again, I think he was someone that we were sort of tracking the whole time. But, you know, if he had an offer, if he didn't have an offer, it seems like he's staying with Arkansas. And, you know, if Miami needs to pivot now, again, I'm still okay with, you know, the process. I think the process is going to be okay. I don't think there's any immediate rush to get this done. Mario's had a ton of success already recruiting for Miami without those guys. And yeah, you have the Elite Prospect weekend and, you know, you have this, you know, last weekend of official visits before National Signing Day. And, you know, what is it? Not a week from today, 2 weeks from Wednesday. I don't think there's any rush to get anything done by then. I think that you just let everything play out, see what other names surface and, you know, just sort of move on from there.
I agree. You know, so where does Mario go from here? I agree with those sentiments, right? I think, and look, I'm done like putting a timeline on anything Mario Cristobal does anymore, right? I just think he's going to operate by his own timeline. And I think he believes, you know, look, my focus right now for the next 2 weeks is recruiting. And I'm the alpha recruiter. I can handle the remaining targets for this 2022 class. And for the most part, I agree with that. So if I'm Mario, I'm taking my time and exploring more options, whether that is waiting for the NFL cycle, the NFL carousel to play out. I think you could argue too, the college pool will expand after National Signing Day. I think a lot of coaches right now aren't necessarily willing to talk with Mario or anyone because the focus now, you know, with 2 weeks until National Signing Day, is recruiting. Coaches are on the road, you know, stopping at 2023 high schools, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And Mario's just busy recruiting himself, right? We've detailed how his interview process of coordinators is grueling. So, if I'm him, I'm waiting things out, seeing what other options are going to bubble up. And also, too, honestly, and this is just me speculating, right? Let's say Jason Candle goes through National Signing Day, and there's no more National Signing Day pressure to hurry up and make a decision. Why can't Mario Cristobal circle back around on him, right? After National Signing Day. And I get, like, it's frustrating to have to wait. It's annoying to have to wait from a fan base perspective. But here's why, you know, the reason why I'm not necessarily concerned that him missing on his quote unquote top targets in like Jason Candle and Kendall Briles, to me, I'm not like extremely concerned is because of the money, right? If Miami was working with some sort of mid-tier budget, like they have been exactly. working with, and you get turned down by your top choices, then it's tough, right? Because you're trying to find those diamonds in the rough, I guess is how you'd phrase it. But now Miami's paying big money, and there are a lot of quality coaches out there that I think will be interested in Miami because of that, you know. And I do think everything's going to work out at the end of the day because of the money. Also, you know, I trust Mario Cristobal's track record. He's shown he's very good at hiring coordinators. Many of his coordinators, you know, dating back to FIU, are either now big time coordinators at the P5 level, or they've gone on to be head coaches, right? So his process does work. Again, his process is notoriously slow, which, again, it's frustrating from a fan base perspective, but it does deliver results. I will say this too, Gabby. I do think one thing Mario Cristobal does have to deal with when putting together a staff, and I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing, but it is something he has to deal with, is he has a reputation of grinding down his staff, right? He's very demanding.
Yeah.
He doesn't run an organization that is chill and loose. He's all about putting in the work, both with, you know, football, on the football side of things with their own team, and then also very demanding in recruiting. Some coaches aren't up for that. Some coaches aren't up for that demanding style. You know, it's my impression that, you know, if Kendall Briles did have a legitimate offer, that was one of the reasons why he was concerned about Miami, or, you know, Mario Cristobal. Maybe that personality wouldn't work for him. So, you know, Mario Cristobal's just got to find the guys that are willing to, work at that standard. And, you know, in terms of like, does this hurt recruiting? I don't think it necessarily hurts with the 2022 cycle. I don't even think it hurts with 2023. There's still plenty of time for 2023. Where I do think it hurts, though, in terms of talent acquisition, is transfer portal guys, right? I think transfer portal guys want to know who's the coordinator, who's my position coach, et cetera, et cetera. So I do think it hurts in that regard, but I think the portal is going to get flooded again after spring football. I think it's going to get flooded again in the summer. I think there's going to be plenty of options there. No matter what, do you think of in No. terms of like talent acquisition, does this patient approach hurt anything in your opinion?
No, I mean, it doesn't. I think really the only thing is the transfer portal. And I was literally going to go right there, is that like after the spring, we're going to see another, you know, another wave of portal guys again. And then in the summer, you're going to see more. And this isn't stopping anytime soon. So, you know, there's guys right now that, you know, are probably just saying, you know what, let me just stick it out a little bit longer in the spring. There's 2,000 guys in the transfer portal. Let me just kind of wait and see how this sort of goes. And then after the spring, maybe I can test it all out and all that stuff. I think that there's a lot of people that are doing that. If there's people transferring right after the season, I think there's going to be people that, you know, are going to wait and see how this, you know, first semester goes. Let's say if there's a new coaching staff in place, How do they like all that? You know, where do they sort of fall on the depth chart? All those types of things that's going to sort of open up the transfer portal again after the spring. So, you know, yes, sure, there's guys that Miami might be missing on right now because they don't have people in place. But I think there's going to be other opportunities to add talent, you know, across, you know, there's going to be guys that have big springs, and there's going to be guys that, you know, sort of blow up in the spring and maybe decide then, hey, let me try to make the leap from, you know, the G5 level to the Power 5 level. There's always going to be new names that emerge. We sort of see it every year. And I believe that, you know, again, right now, I don't think it's worth like just rushing everything just to make sure you have it. Again, with the 23s, there's so much time. Like you see how things change from a recruiting standpoint, like on a weekly basis right now, especially with like the class of 2022. Right. There's so much time for the 2023s that it's not a big deal that Miami doesn't have an offensive coordinator in place if a five-star quarterback is coming in this weekend. You know, there's going to be time to build those relationships and all those types of things. So, I mean, I think the patient approach is the right one. I think, again, getting it right is more important than doing it quickly or, you know, I guess, I mean, yeah, the timeline's already getting a little long and all that stuff. But at this point, I mean, if it's another 2 weeks, even if it's another 3 weeks, I mean, it's not a huge deal in my opinion.
Get the right guys, get the right coaches. So we'll leave it at that, and we'll take a break now. And on the other side, we will highlight the, you know, some talented 2023 prospects to know that will be swinging by Miami's campus on Elite Prospect Day.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back. Gabby, I asked you to, because it's 2023, right? And it's very early. We're all just kind of learning these names right now, especially since it's a new head coach, right? I asked you to give me a name to know at each position that's planning to be in Coral Gables at some point for this Elite Prospect Day weekend. So let's start with quarterback. And you highlighted five-star Dante Moore, number 8 overall player in the country out of Detroit, Michigan. What do we need to know about him?
Yeah, I mean, just again, we're just when you bring in these elite prospects and all that stuff, you like to hear that a quarterback's coming into town. Not a lot of big, I mean, how it typically goes in South Florida, not a lot of like local names to sort of know. So for them to get a guy like, you know, Dante Moore, who again is a five-star out of Detroit, Michigan, to come down, you know, this was sort of a part of the whole plan of even doing it this weekend. Battle Miami is the big 7-on-7 tournament that they're hosting down here. Right. Dante Moore and his team are coming down for the weekend. He plays for Sound Mind, Sound Body. And from what I understand, he's going to be, you know, again, one of the many guys who are going to be, you know, swinging by Miami's campus. Again, this is we have him ranked as the composite has him ranked as the number 8 overall player and the number 3 quarterback in a pretty loaded class of 2023 at quarterback. So I think it's a big deal. He's also one of two quarterbacks that Miami's actually offered since Mario Cristobal took over. So, you know, this is definitely a name that you're going to want to keep in mind. And I think that, you know, this is probably going to be one of those big arms that Miami's going to chase, at least at this point, without a coordinator in place to sort of further evaluate the quarterback position.
And it's early in his recruitment, right? But, you know, being from Detroit, sounds like Michigan State, obviously going to be teams to watch there. As a junior, accounted for 3,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. Watching his highlights, You know, looks like a guy that has a big arm, has a guy that he is a guy that can throw off different platforms, arm angles, kill you from the pocket, athletic enough to buy time, athletic enough to scramble for some yardage. His throwing ability reminds me a little bit of Caleb Williams. I think Caleb's more athletic as a runner, but definitely a guy with a lot of arm talent. Definitely see why he's a five-star guy.
And a four-year starter. Well, I guess a three-year starter because he's just a junior, but will be a four-year starter, right. You know, by the time he wraps up his high school career. So a guy that's played a lot of football. I mean, that's big. We saw some guys have to miss a year or something like that, just especially this 2022 class of quarterbacks and even the, you know, 2021 class, some guys had to miss some time or, you know, with the whole COVID stuff that some people's seasons got canceled. This is a guy that's played out his entire high school career, which I think is a pretty big deal.
At running back, you highlighted five-star number 16 overall in the country, Richard Young out of Lehigh High School, which is in the Fort Myers area of the state of Florida. Tell us what we need to know about this guy.
Yeah, Richard Young is just an absolute monster. I mean, when you just consider the top running backs in the country, you're probably looking at Reuben Owens from Texas and Richard Young. And depending on who you're going to ask is who's going to tell you, you know, which guy they feel like is the best. But Richard Young, I mean, 5'11", 200 pounder, you know, absolute mammoth of a man. You know, definitely a guy that runs the ball hard, almost 2,000 yards on the season as a junior, 1,755 yards, 19 touchdowns. So, you know, definitely one of the very best in the country. Nick Saban's been by to see him at Lehigh this week. Florida was there. You know, a multitude of other schools. Ryan Day at Ohio State was there. I believe he's taken a couple unofficial visits to Ohio State. So that's a school definitely really involved there. This is going to be his first trip to Miami, you know, really as a high-level recruit. Again, yeah, super crazy just because he is so close. But, you know, again, that's the Mario Cristobal effect. This is something that happened extremely quickly after Mario Cristobal announced that Elite Prospect Day. So definitely a big deal that Miami's getting him on campus.
His film's a lot of fun to watch. He is so big-time talent, right? Very explosive, quick accelerator to his top speed. Obviously has a strong build. He reminds me a lot of Dalvin Cook. Like he's the closest thing to Dalvin Cook I've seen since Dalvin Cook, which was the 2014 recruiting class. Just that explosive slasher type. And, you know, look, just the schools that have visited him already this week tells you how big of a deal he is. Alabama's top target, Ohio State's top target. You know, for a lot of these guys, they're visiting, you know, because of the Battle Miami tournament that's going on in the area at the same weekend. Is he participating in that or is he coming on his own for the Elite Prospect Day, do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess, I mean, there's always a chance that, you know, a guy like that is going to play with someone, even if there's not like a local, you know, Lehigh team or Naples team or Fort Myers team or whatever it is. You know, if a guy like that will get calls from Fast Houston and, you know, big time pro Cam Newton 7-on-7 team, and, you know, they'll probably try to get him on a roster. So it'll be interesting to see who he plays with. It could be any number of teams given how the 7-on-7 stuff works if he does play.
One guy who is visiting that's on a big time local 7-on-7 team that you wanted to highlight at wide receiver is Brandon Ennis, five-star, number 9 overall player in the country, 6'1", 190, plays at American Heritage Plantation High School. I think even maybe casual fans know who he is now because he's been, he's kind of been on the scene since eighth grade, honestly, and been a playmaker since eighth grade. So, tell us what we like. Why is he now on the radar for Miami? Because that wasn't the case during the Manny Diaz era.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. I mean, he decided to give an early commitment to Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. That sort of blew up a little bit once he made that move to USC. And, you know, he didn't immediately follow him to USC like some of the other Oklahoma commits did. So again, I think this sort of just opens the door back up for Miami. And, you know, the way that he's been talking about Brian McClendon, and, you know, it just seems like there's a renewed interest in Miami and the local team. And again, Brian McClendon appears to be one of the very best in the business, with just considering who he sort of coached and developed. And I think he's someone a lot of guys down here respect and really seem to like. And so I'm interested to see how they sort of interact and, you know, just to sort of see where Miami really stands in this. Cause, you know, even just talking to people close to him, it sounds like he's excited about Miami, that, you know, he's going to give them like a hard look now. And I think that they're going to be firmly in the mix of this thing, probably, you know, until he makes another commitment, whether it's to USC or if it's, you know, again, just down the road. I'm not exactly sure what the timeline's looking like right now, but I think Miami's done a really good job sort of giving themselves another shot in the arm in this recruitment. Again, a guy that people are very familiar with at this point, a five-star receiver, an elite amongst a few other elite wide receivers locally, probably a couple different directions that we can go at that position. But I think Brandon Ennis is definitely a big fish and one that Miami fans should definitely continue to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I told you just one per position, but obviously Jaylen Brown's another big time guy. Hakeem Williams, another big time guy that are local. In a recent article, I believe it was with Steve Wiltfong, national 24/7 sports recruiting analyst, he did an article with Brandon, and Brandon said he's basically talking to four schools the most. USC, which is no surprise, Lincoln Riley's there now, Alabama, and Ohio State and Miami. So big time player, you know, just seeing him in person many, many times. He's definitely one of the best route runners I've seen at the high school level. Just has a knack for changing direction smoothly, changing speeds to create separation. Very advanced with that at the high school level. You know, I remember like Amari Cooper, one of the better high school route runners I've ever seen. Jerry Jeudy, one of the better high school route runners I've ever seen. I would put Rashad Green in there too. So, you know, Brandon's maybe a little different than those guys. Brandon, you can put on the outside or in the slot, a little more versatile that way, but a big time player no matter what. So, he is definitely an interesting name to know at receiver this cycle. Tight end. You brought forth a prospect from Oregon.
Yeah.
Four-star Riley Williams, number 110 overall in the country, 6'6", 230 pounds out of Portland Central Catholic. That's a long ways to go to get to Miami. I would assume, is he in this battle Miami? Do we know? Like, do they have a team coming from the PNW?
I'm assuming so. I know that they do a lot of stuff like air football and all that stuff. They typically have guys that, you know, travel and do the 7-on-7 stuff. So I would assume he's a guy that's probably going to be playing. I can't remember if last year there was a team from the Pacific Northwest, but I know there was a team from California that had like Domani Jackson and Larry Turner Goodwin and a couple other of those Cali kids. So I'm wondering if maybe there is a team from out there that's going to come down. But, you know, I think it's, you know, just the fact that he's kind of getting down here again, someone from Portland, Oregon, very familiar with, you know, Mario Cristobal and those guys from their time at Oregon. I think it's notable that he's sort of giving Miami a look on a weekend that's littered with junior days. Miami isn't the only team that's having this big junior day on Saturday. So I do think it's worth noting that he's one of the, you know, big time tight ends that's going to make their way down again. Like receiver, I mean, I think you could have made an argument for Mac Markway, who's from St. Louis, who's one of the top guys. Right. Jackson Howard from Minnesota is another guy that could have been in there. But Riley Williams is really intriguing. I mean, top player in the state of Oregon. I think the question sort of becomes, like, you know, with the Cyrus Moss recruiting win for Mario Cristobal, obviously they're going after a couple other guys out west, is how strong can this West Coast pipeline sort of stay for Mario Cristobal? Like, are those roots going to transfer over long term, or is this like a one cycle thing where he was able to get an elite West Coast guy? So definitely a couple dudes are going to put that to the test. I think Riley Williams is going to be one of them at tight end.
Yeah. Just watching his film, right? He's clearly, I mean, the talent out at Portland, you know, judging off who he was going against, not like elite talent. But he's clearly out there making plays. They line him up at a different bunch of different spots. They line him out wide. They'll play him in line. They'll play him at H-back. I think he finished his junior season with 889 yards, 14 touchdowns, averaging about 25 yards per catch. So he plays with an impressive catch radius, catches the ball well away from his body, catches the ball in traffic. I wouldn't call him like on film, he doesn't appear to be like the most athletic guy in terms of like speed and acceleration. But he's definitely a guy that, you know, if he's covered, even when he's covered, if you throw the ball up to him, he can come down with it, right? He also plays basketball, which I like too, multi-sport athletes. Offensive line, right? Position group that Mario Cristobal cares a lot about. You wanted to highlight an in-state offensive lineman. Tell us about him.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really notable guy. I mean, you talk about we're talking about Orlando Dr. Phillips, four-star Peyton Kirkland, just like really just a just huge human being. I mean, we have him listed at 6'5", 330 pounds. Someone that wasn't really heavily considering Miami prior to the Mario Cristobal move. You know, he kind of listed out a top group. Miami wasn't a part of it. That was until, you know, Mario Cristobal and these guys sort of came around that, you know, he sort of added Miami to that bunch. I mean, other schools in there, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, Michigan, Penn State, and Georgia. So Miami really the only in-state school that it feels like Peyton Kirkland is heavily considering at this point. You know, again, this is just a massive human being. I saw him his sophomore year against Miami Palmetto in a playoff game. So as a sophomore, he was probably the largest kid on the field that also included Leonard Taylor. So, right. You know, I think that, again, I think ideally if Miami can find offensive linemen in state, a Peyton Kirkland type, even some IMG kids, a couple kids in Tampa, Jacksonville, those types, I think that would be the ideal recruiting ground for offensive linemen. So I think that just makes Peyton Kirkland one of the top dudes on the board. And again, they're going to go national, but I think they're going to try, they're always going to try to lock down, you know, the state of Miami per se. And Peyton Kirkland right. definitely falls inside of that.
He reminds me on film of Jalen Rivers a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I can definitely see some of that. I can even see him being like an inside guy type.
Well, and honestly, I think Jalen has the athleticism to play right tackle. And honestly, I would give Jalen that look this year if I'm Mario Cristobal. And I view Peyton Kirkland as a right tackle at the college level. He currently plays left tackle for his high school team primarily, yeah. but he seems to be like I think Mario Cristobal is going to recruit big physical offensive linemen, right? I think he's gonna, you know, he's not going to shy away from 6'5", 330 types. Whereas I think in recent years here, we've seen Miami try and recruit like 6'6", 6'7", 275 to 290 pound tackles where you build them up, right? With, you know, their body type through the college strength and conditioning program. I think Cristobal wants a big physical run blocking offensive line. And I think Peyton Kirkland fits that mold.
Absolutely.
So he's got some good film, physical guy, finishes through defenders. Definitely would be a big time get if they can pull that one off. Defense. Let's go to defense. Defensive line. You highlighted a guy who, unless there's some prospects in Alaska, I don't know if there's anyone in the country who could have, well, maybe Hawaii, I guess, who could have traveled further than Jaden Wayne, who is a five-star, number 31 overall in the country out of Lincoln High School in Tacoma, Washington. 6'5", 245. He was here for, what, Paradise Camp, right?
Paradise Camp, yeah.
So there's already interest there, but I think you noted too that Oregon was his very first offer when he was a high school freshman, right?
Yeah, Oregon was that first offer. And I mean, guess who was the coaching staff that pulled the trigger on that? I mean, right. That's Mario Cristobal. That's Joe Salavea and those types of guys. I know that they have an extremely tight relationship. You know, Jaden Wayne was one of the first recruits that, you know, I remember hearing was talking to Joe Salavea before, you know, he was officially hired by Miami. So, you know, I know that he's someone that he has a lot of respect for. And again, getting him down to Miami again for, you know, an unofficial visit this way, defensive lineman, probably not playing in that battle Miami. I think this is just sort of him sort of, you know, checking out Miami again now that these guys are down here. I think that this is a big, big time visit. You know, I was talking about Riley Williams and those West Coast ties. I think Jaden Wayne is really going to be the one that tests it. You know, he already got on Oregon's campus with Dan Lanning there. So, you know, they were able to meet. I believe it was either earlier this week or just, you know, since the contact period opened up last Friday. So, you know, I definitely think that it's going to be a test for Mario Cristobal to see how, you know, strong those West Coast ties can be. And again, I'm not expecting him to go out and land a five-star from the Pacific Northwest, but I want to see how far, like just how long Miami could really stay right in the thick of this. And if they can, again, I think that'll be a testament to Mario Cristobal's sort of, you know, footprint over there in that region.
Yeah, he's a guy. So he finished his junior season, 16 tackles for loss, 9 sacks. You know, you watch his film. To me, he has a frame. You know, when you watch schools like Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M on the line of scrimmage, they have these freaky athletic 275, 280 pound edge guys, right? That can bend around the edge, that can chase down quarterbacks, chase down running backs. To me, Jaden Wayne has that frame that's going to fill out to be like a 275 athletic defensive end. Good bend at his size, sets the edge well against the run. It was also interesting too. He plays some wide receiver, which is freaky. Not saying he can play it at the college level right at all, but still, caught 18 passes for 269 yards and 5 touchdowns. So guy who definitely has plus athleticism as a line of scrimmage player. Could definitely see why he's a 5-star prospect. So next position I said was edge rush, right? Which is kind of, it's either like a defensive end or a stand-up edge rushing outside linebacker, right? And I think with Mario Cristobal's scheme, you know, these guys are going to have to do both, right? He wants to have kind of a multiple front. Tell us about who you wanted to highlight there.
I'm highlighting Malik Bryant. He's out of the Orlando area. Spent the last couple years at IMG Academy. Definitely did a lot of big things there. I mean, he came in after his freshman year at Orlando Jones and started as a sophomore at IMG. That's not something you see a lot. So, you know, Malik Bryant is definitely one of those guys that could probably put his hand in the dirt and get after the quarterback like that, or be sort of like, again, the stand-up edge guy that could even potentially maybe play some outside linebacker. I think there's a big-time talent. Again, you talk about keeping talent home in the state of Florida. You know, Malik Bryant's going to be one of those guys that's definitely going to test Mario Cristobal and that staff. I mean, he's a guy that you know, Florida, that's really high on Florida. A few other schools, I know Georgia really likes him. I mean, this is a national recruit. This is a 5-star kid. Again, he's finishing up his high school career backup where he started it at Orlando Jones. Going to be at Miami for that elite prospect egg, and a guy that Miami's already swung by his high school, you know, since they've been out on the road recruiting. I think this is going to be definitely a priority guy. Malik Bryant also came by Hard Rock Stadium for a game this past fall. So some good news. It seems like, again, this is going to be a great opportunity for him to sort of meet, interact with the new staff and sort of gauge his interest going forward from that.
So you've seen him in person, right?
Yeah, I have.
Is he
a few times?
He's listed at 6'2". Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I don't think he's not one of these like freaky 6'4", you know, okay, edge guys. I think he could be, he's one of those guys that's maybe a little bit smaller that just moves around really, really well.
Yeah, on tape, he does rush the passer well, clearly. But it also kind of looks like he could play linebacker.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair? Like, straight up linebacker.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think definitely he probably fits into that frame that I think he'll probably be considered like a tweener in terms of just like, you know, potentially being a linebacker or being maybe just like a small pass rusher or anything like that. But I could definitely see him being one of those guys that, you know, ends up moving back to linebacker and is just running all over the field, making plays or coming off the edge and getting after the quarterback and just doing all those types of things. It feels like he's sort of a versatile, like chess piece type for a defense.
At linebacker, you highlighted a local guy from Miami, Killian. Tell us about him, because I'm intrigued by him.
Yeah.
I've heard differing opinions on him, but I do think his film is pretty good.
Yeah, that's Danquan Clark. I mean, he's someone that, you know, we were definitely high on early on in the process. And he's growing, man. I saw him at the Miami Immortals tryout. Like, you know, I think he's definitely growing into that linebacker frame. I mean, he's at least 6'2". He could be potentially pushing 6'3". You know, he's big, he's long, he's really athletic. He moves around super well. He was a former safety that sort of started to grow into the box. I think probably the biggest question with him is just his physicality, just how willing of a tackler he's going to end up being. I think that was a concern. But he's someone that if he puts it all together, I think he's got a really, really high ceiling, just because, again, there's not a lot of guys running around Dade County that look the way he does, that move around the way he does. And, you know, when he wants to sort of turn it on, you know, just sort of plays the way he does defensively. I mean, he also, you know, just messing around at those 7-on-7 events, he's catching passes at wide receiver. You know, he's covering receivers on defense. So I think he's someone that has an interesting skill set that I think at linebacker is pretty valuable. So, I mean, if he shows that he's a willing tackler, I think he's definitely a Miami guy all the way. And, you know, I think it sounds like to me that Mario Cristobal and those guys are definitely coming after him and showing him that sort of love.
He was credited this year with 131 tackles, 24 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 2 picks. But if you do watch his film, right, and those are high school stats. So
yeah, that's a little juiced up to me. No judgment.
But if you do watch his film, right, you can tell that the tackling technique needs to be cleaned up, right? But yes, it's clear too that he's a big time athlete. And you always, you know, every coach thinks they can turn those guys into studs. And Stanquan is a guy with a high ceiling. Corner. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think this guy's your favorite recruit for the 2023 cycle. Tell us about him.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been following me, you know this is probably a layup. I'm going with 5-star Cormani McClain, a guy that spent some time in South Florida recently playing for that South Florida Express. Mario Cristobal, DeMarcus Van Dyke, and Kevin Smith, it looked like, were at his high school on Thursday morning. Again, I think this is a guy that they're going sort of full court press on, with DeMarcus Van Dyke leading that. Probably someone people are going to have questions about with Travaris Robinson heading to Alabama. From everything that Cormani McClain has told me, it seems like DeMarcus Van Dyke has been sort of the one spearheading that recruitment. So again, that's definitely something to keep in mind there with the 5-star. Again, nation's top cornerback, number 4 overall player. I mean, you just watch this kid move around and you can just tell that it's just so different from the way everyone else looks. I mean, he's at a tryout with, you know, other potential Power 5 cornerbacks, you know, at that South Florida Express event they had a couple weeks ago. And I mean, it's just blatantly obvious who, like, if you don't know anything about football and you have no idea what's going on and you just stand there and watch all those cornerbacks sort of go through that, you're going to point at Cormani McClain and you're like, yeah, that guy's the best one. I think there's clearly something different about him. And, you know, I think it's good that he's going to be playing with South Florida Express. I think that's going to allow him to spend a lot of time, you know, in Miami, you know, from that Lakeland area. So I think I think Miami's in a good spot there. It seemed to, when I spoke to him at those South Florida Express tryouts, he told me Miami's one of his top 2 schools, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida, BYU, amongst some of the others that are also involved there. And, you know, Miami's going to be probably the first school to get him on campus, you know, in this contact period. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, 6'2", 165, got really nice length. He had 10 interceptions this year, 9 interceptions last year. So he just clearly has those instincts as well.
Yeah.
Can finish
he
on
also,
plays.
He also intercepted Jakari Brown, Miami's quarterback signee, in a game against the Lions.
Yeah, that was a great game, right? That was like a shootout, 50-something.
Absolute shootout. It was sick. It was awesome to watch.
And Lions ended up winning, correct?
Yeah, they did.
And but yeah, you're right. Like, you – Some guys you just watch and it's like, yeah, he's obviously going to end up in the NFL. He's got all the traits you want in a corner. I feel like too, I mean, he plays a little receiver. You know, his ceiling, of course, is not as high at receiver, but if he wanted to be a P5 prospect at receiver, he could be. But yeah, clearly a lockdown guy in coverage. You know, he has a slighter frame. So I do think tackling is something he's going to have to work on at the college level. But I mean, again, there's no such thing as the perfect prospect. Everyone has their own things to work on. And he's a big time player, 5-star, number 4 overall in the country. Let's round out this list with a local safety.
Yeah. Damon Fagan, Plantation American Heritage, top 247 guy. Again, with T-Rob sort of leaving, I think it's important to note that it sounds like DeMarcus Van Dyke is the guy that's recruiting him. Another kid who I think is growing. I mean, you see him listed and he's like at 6'3". I think he might be pushing. He's getting, again, pushing dangerously close to probably like 6'4"-ish. I mean, this is just a kid that just continues to impress. I think his frame is starting to fill out, sort of a thin kid, you know, sort of long. It seems like I think he's starting to put on a little bit of weight, which is good. I'm really excited to watch him run around and actually play 7-on-7 this go around. A lot of Plantation American Heritage kids don't really do that. It sounds like they're going to this sort of, you know, 7-on-7 circuit. I think Miami's in a really good spot here early on. He really looks up to James Williams. You know, again, he has a great relationship with DeMarcus Van Dyke. And I know Ohio State's also involved. Penn State's another school he's visited. And, you know, a couple of in-state schools like Florida State, probably Florida as well. So, you know, definitely a few schools involved. But I think, you know, when we're looking at safeties, I know Damon Fagan is one of the guys sitting at the top of the board, you know, along with a few others, but definitely as a local guy, a South Florida kid. I know that he's definitely a name that you guys are going to want to know in this 2023 class, and he is going to be at that elite prospect day as well.
Yeah, good upside. You know, thinner frame, but like you're mentioning, sounds like he's still growing and it's still filling out. But I think he's a willing tackler, even though he's got kind of a thinner frame, and he has the length and speed to be effective in coverage as well. So those are the kind of the key positions, key players at each position to know, but there's going to be tons more. Again, there's going to be a 50% off annual subscription deal, running this weekend. I would think everyone listening to this podcast would want to jump in on the fun. Gabby's going to have it all covered wall to wall. Let's end this podcast on this note, right? Cause I think anytime there's a big, visiting weekend like this, Gabby, the natural question is, will there be any commitments? I personally am not expecting any. Would you be surprised if Miami gets one commitment from this weekend?
Honestly, probably wouldn't be super surprised. Again, I wouldn't bet on it, but I mean, if they're able to convince someone to hop on board, I think that that's been Mario's like sort of ideal scenarios, get a couple guys on board early and start to build up that class around them. I know that they've pushed a couple kids to be like, oh, be the leaders of the class. Again, does it actually happen on, you know, over the weekend? I doubt it, but, you know, I'm not ruling out anything at this point. But again, if I were, I think I would probably lean towards no in terms of picking up commitments.
So you're saying Jaden Wayne's going to commit?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm crystal balling it right now. 8 confidence score.
So it'll be a fun weekend. And yeah, there's also the Battle Miami Camp 7-on-7 tournament,
yeah,
which I will be at. And hopefully seeing most of these guys compete. So we will have an idea about what type of players they are too. So with that, appreciate everyone listening as always. Hopefully everyone has a fun, safe weekend. Tell your family you love them. Until next time, take care.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.